and welcome to On the Corner, the official podcast of pitchless.com. I'm your host, Eric Smolsky, joined by the man himself, wearing a long sleeve shirt on this ridiculously hot day in New York City. It's Nick Pollock.
What is happening? It is nice and cool. It's not at 78 degrees. I'm so sorry, Mandami. But yeah, it's nice and cool in my apartment, so I'm wearing this long sleeve shirt.
And yeah, 78 degrees, long, just so we know, long been the recommended temperature in New York City and other cities, just for people who decided they needed
to not be happy in life. Yeah.
On the internet. So it is July 2nd. We know it's July 4th weekend coming up. There's a lot going on. It is a holiday weekend. When we say we're going to try to be quick about this one, we're actually going to be try to be quick about this one this time. So if there are any pitchers that we don't go over or anybody that you would like additional thoughts on, you know, reach out to Nick or I on Twitter. We'll do our best to try to give you some thoughts on a particular pitcher or matchup. You obviously know Nick has the streaming starting pitchers sheet coming out the rest of this week and also next week. So you can get thoughts on that on Monday. My streaming starting pitcher sheet, which is for the entire week, comes out on NBC Sports. So you can check those two documents out if we get to a situation where you're like, hey, what did they think about so-and-so? And we didn't talk about them today.
Yeah, I mean, so I think what Eric is referring to is my 14-day out sit start grid, right? Yes, well, so that's actually what we're referring to with this.
Well, but I'm also
my daily,
saying,
yeah, my daily one of today,
the daily one within the week where you update every day the rankings and all that of the starting pitchers.
Oh, you're talking about the actual eponymous list of pitchers?
No, the streaming starting pitcher list.
That's the normal daily streaming thing.
Oh, the demon. Yes, that's what I mean. The daily one, not your Monday list. You got so many lists. Not your Monday list, the list.
I don't have a streaming guide for the week article. Yeah. It's actually something I've thought about before. You do have a sit start from Lucas Zenobi does a great job with it.
Yeah, I do. I do a weekly one. You do a daily one. That's your thing.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, we are going to go through this one quickly. We're going to start from the West going to the East today. Because we just want to keep changing it up. We feel like we speed through some of them and they don't deserve it, right? All right. We're going to start with the Athletics. And Eric, I got to say, Jack Perkins going this weekend against the Marlins. Same with Gage Jump and Aaron Civale. And then we have Jeffrey Springs, JT Ginn, Jack Perkins and Aaron Civale going next week. How are we feeling about all of this?
I'm feeling pretty good about Jack Perkins. We have, we talked about him before, and you know, it's not a perfect mix, but you know, fastball is good velocity. The movement profile isn't ideal, but he's got good breakers. It's a deep enough pitch mix. I think it works in the rotation. He's somebody that I have tried to pick up in a few places because starting pitching is barren, and it's one of those like, hey, maybe it starts to click. And I think that it is slowly starting to click, and it's Miami and then it's at Detroit before the All-Star break. And those feel like two decent starts for Jack Perkins.
Yeah. I mean, Perkins has that flatter fastball, which can work. It's really just by command every single time with him. And Gage Jump, I feel, is great. Even though he didn't poorly against the Dodgers, he still threw strikes, and that's really cool. JT Ginn did have better command, but I did not want to do that at Detroit.
Yeah, JT Ginn is somebody I just put out an article yesterday on basically starting pitcher buy or sells, which I was alluding to last week when we recorded. And JT Ginn was on the sell list, not saying like you might not be able to get a lot for him in a trade, but just suggesting that the run of production we saw from him was great. You're happy about it. We should not expect it to continue. And when the wheels start to wobble, it's time to move off. And if somebody wants to trade for him from you, go for it.
Yeah.
The Astros, they're 3 in Tampa Bay this weekend. They're 3 in Washington over next week and 3 in Texas. It's probably a two-start week right now for Mike Burrows since Christian Javier is being moved to the bullpen, but we will see how that goes. We had the Tatsuya Imai blow-up start on Wednesday, and it was kind of what you and I had been saying of like, I get why people would have wanted to start him on Wednesday. He was pitching really well. And so if you want to roll the dice, but it was always a roll of the dice because nothing had tangibly changed with him. It was just better command. He was locating the slider better and the fastball better. And as you had pointed out, like the slider just seems weird. And so hitters weren't hitting it, even though it wasn't located great. And it seemed like something that would come to crash down. And the command was just, I think it was a 45% overall strike rate yesterday. It was just brutal.
I mean, yeah, Tatsuya Imai, his whole, I don't like, I don't like going after guys where I can't really see through the haze of what they do and what I should expect from that moving forward. And Amai is one of the very rare ones where it's just like, I don't know, man. Yeah. It's incredibly frustrating. He's a prototypical hipster. I really don't want to touch it. I'm really also upset that Spencer Arrighetti is not really adapting to his arsenal right now.
I was going to ask if you were done with Spencer Arrighetti in a 12-team league for now, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
I've dropped him in a few places in 12-team leagues as well, so I am moving on. The Angels, they have three against the Red Sox this weekend, three at Texas next week, and then three at Minnesota. That's a two-start week for Jose Soriano at Texas, at Minnesota. I know he's let you down, but that seems like a pretty decent two-start week for Jose Soriano. You know, kind of decent all around. I don't know. I guess the only person here is, you know, Ryan Johnson has made a couple interesting starts. I think we know what we're getting from Detmers and Walbert Urania and Jose Soriano. We know we're not trusting Grayson Rodriguez and Sam Aldegari. So just talk to me about Ryan Johnson before we move.
Well, Ryan Johnson might have one more start remaining because Grayson Rodriguez could return on that Friday the 10th, right? Against the Twins, and I just don't want to do that still ill, and we haven't seen him looking great, so we're not doing that. Aldegari, no, thank you. I wouldn't be surprised if they kept Ryan Johnson still instead of Aldegari. And Ryan Johnson, he throws like a splitter down. He's kind of a junk baller from the right side. It's not really something that I feel we can be trusting. It's pretty basic. So I'm not interested in that. And as far as Jose Soriano goes, you know, it might be really funny. 45% strikes on that sinker last game. But he had over 70% strikes on the four-seamer. So he made up for it a little bit. The CSW darling that is the curveball was still there. So he's just fine. It's like, all right, you deal with it. And you're definitely going to do it at 12 in a 15-teamer for the two-step, even in 12-teamer too. Yeah, and Detmers has a slider back, and that's really, really cool. Yeah. So I'm excited for that.
You're basic. That's what I think every time somebody says they're basic. I say, you're basic. The Mariners, it's three against Toronto this weekend. It is three at Miami and three at Tampa Bay next week. Again, we don't know if it's a two-start week for anybody because they're doing the six-man rotation. They're piggybacking. They're not. They're just not making up the schedule. And as you mentioned to me, it's not actually piggybacking because they've been separating the schedule. What I said to you is it's still annoying for fantasy if you're in a weekly lineup lock league because sometimes we don't know the weekend rotation until like the middle of the week. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody was going to have two starts. They won't. Somebody will get a true start when they weren't going to. And so at the end of the day, all the guys are pitching. And so you're just going to set them in your lineup. It's a little annoying because we're not sure exactly when it will happen, but it is going to happen. And so we just roll with the punches while all these guys are healthy right now.
Yeah, right. This is probably going to happen for like another week or two.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see. Even this past week, for sure, if you had Emerson Hancock, you lost on the second one, but you still were going to start him in the first place. And with Logan Gilbert, you got it. I mean, you were going to start him for the piggyback anyway because you knew he was going to lead with it. And they likely weren't going to go four with him and like five with Hancock. So,
yeah.
Bryce Miller is on the verge of aces going to ace. I mean, he is just so good right now. It's really crazy to think of this guy who is like a 60% four-seamer arm. He's all the way down to like 30% and throwing a ton of secondaries for strikes now, with a better four-seamer than he had before. It's great.
The whole, like, I'm going to avoid injury risk guys. And so guys who, like, have, you know, are coming off of major surgeries, or guys like Bryce Miller who had multiple arm injuries but no surgery, and so they might not even be healthy. And so I was like, I'm avoiding Zach Wheeler. I'm avoiding Bryce Miller. And I'm like, oh, man, I wish I had some shares of those.
It is really interesting. PLV projections really loved Zach Wheeler. And I remember going back and forth with Kyle about this, being like, how can you project him so high? We don't even know when he's coming back and everything. And he's like, everything I have put into this is saying that this is good. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
And what he should tell me now is, it's PLV projections, Nick. Listen to it. All right, fine.
Yeah,
fine.
We'll do that.
Christopher Sanchez over George Kirby. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. Last one in the AL West, it's the Rangers. They have three against Detroit this weekend. They have three home against the Angels next week and three home against the Astros. That's two start week for Mackenzie Gore, Angels, Astros, which you like to see. Cal Quantrill is in the rotation for Jack Leiter, but he's not stretched out and you're not really interested. You are always firing up Eovaldi and DeGrom. So the question is, do we trust Kumar Rocker enough It's Detroit this weekend. It's the Angels next week.
I really don't personally. I know it's like 36 whiffs in two games, right? But I can't do this. Like, it's a 83, 84 mile per hour slider without good fastballs and sometimes a good cutter above it. But that's really it. And it's just what?
Yeah.
How is this so effective?
It's confounding me as well. And I get like in deeper formats, if you just want to say, hey, he's pitching well, so I'm going to keep
it's the trying. Vargas rule. Sure.
Vargas rule it in a 12 team league. Like I would be, it would make me feel uneasy to put him in my lineup. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's my bias. Moving on to the AL Central. We've got the White Sox, three at the Guardians this weekend, three home against the Red Sox next week, and three home against the Athletics. It's two-start week for Noah Schultz, Boston, and the Athletics. The Red Sox, though, are a much better offense against left-handed pitching. They're about a top 10 offense against left-handed pitching. And then you get the Athletics, you get Noah Schultz not really being able to consistently deliver five innings. And so in a 12-team league, that's an interesting two-start. I don't know that either of them will really hurt you, but I don't think it's like a slam dunk. How did you feel about Noah Schultz watching his return this week?
I mean, the cutter was really effective for him. He had more back foot sweepers that were looking good. We also saw two strikeouts on his changeup that were nice down and away from right-hander. So it's possible that Noah Schultz is finding something. But at the same time, I really want that cutter inside to right-handers more often. And it can go either way. This was someone we really, really loved for a long time. And then he had injuries and he wasn't quite as overwhelming all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. I would absolutely do a spec ad here in my deeper leagues. Sure. And in two-step, yeah, you kind of have to do it in a 15-teamer. Noah Schultz, sure. Fire that one up. And Sean Burke, you just got to keep going with.
Yeah.
Anthony it's a 30% strikeout rate in like five games, something like that. It's crazy.
Anthony Kay, he's got Cleveland this weekend and then Boston. Again, we said Boston much better against lefties than righties.
Yeah.
Rolling the dice with
it's
Anthony
the Guardians. Anthony Kay was looking all right for a bit, and then he had a really bad game. He just looked bad. And I don't know if we're going to get something, you know, so much better. So if he looks great against the Guardians, then fine. Okay, against the Red Sox, but it could be bad and bad.
Speaking of those Guardians, they have three against the White Sox at home this weekend. They have three at Minnesota next week and three at Miami. It's a two-start week for Joey Cantillo at Minnesota, mm-hmm. at Miami. We have both, I think, talked about and written about how much better he looks recently. It's partially this cutter that he's throwing. It's partially him leaning into the curveball a lot more. It's basically both of those things help him reduce the four-seam fastball usage, yeah. which is probably most of what it is. But I've been a sucker for Joey Cantillo in the past, so you're giving me pitch mix changes and a hot streak, and I'm fully in right now.
Yeah, I mean, I was out on Cantillo at the beginning of the year. I called him a hipster that you didn't want to have because you want to be able to make a decision, and you couldn't do it with Cantillo for a while. But now all of a sudden, he's throwing a ton of curveballs as his most thrown pitch for three straight games, has a tick up in velocity in each of those games as well. He did pull back on the cutter yesterday or 2 days ago, but I believe it was yesterday. But still, I'm liking this version of Cantillo a lot more. And those are not matchups that turn me away at Minnesota, at Miami. I feel like you got to roll with those. Parker Messick still looking really good. Gavin Williams is so close to being the guy. Mm-hmm. And I know that some people want me to rank Slade Ciccone higher once again, but I just don't believe that his sinker is this hard to hit all of a sudden. It just does not make any sense to me. So I'm not going for that one. Tanner Bobby, by the way, just had like the best commanded game I've ever seen from him. Like actual changeup along the outside edge to lefties with everything else inside to lefties. It was just, wait, you located everything. Oh, you had two strikeouts. Okay, cool. It was just, it's so strange. I don't think I can jump back onto the Tanner Bibee train as much as I want to at Miami.
Yeah, I think Bibee for me is more of a 15-team league guy only because it's hard. It's so hard to figure out the matchups in a 12-team. But I get it. If you want to walk the tightrope, go for it. He will have some good starts. The Tigers, it's three at Texas this weekend. Next week, it's three home against the Athletics and three home against the Phillies. It's two-start week for Tarek Skubal. We don't need to tell you to put him in your lineups, even if he doesn't look as great as
he looked. I mean, he did against the Yankees, so who cares?
That's true. Then again, that's the next part of my question was I was going to say, hey, Troy Melton looked really good against the Yankees, but it's the Yankees. Did you see that in the last 13 games, the Yankees have 23 RBIs and Dansby Swanson has 19 RBIs?
I did not see that, but that's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And also that you say RBIs.
I write RBI though. I just want everybody to know that. All my articles
that,
I write.
That feels RBI. Wrong to me. Like RBI makes more sense in like the written form than it does saying it.
Well, no, I mean RBI singular is just correct. Sometimes when I speak it,
always
I just put the S on the end of it unintentionally. But
I'm down for those who want to say ribbies, because now you're changing it into an actual thing that isn't, you know, like ATMs.
I do love saying ribbies though. Yeah, that's but fine. Troy Melton, was it just that the Yankees are really slumping right now, or did he look much better?
No, I mean, I led with him today, the Jelen of Troy, and it's a showcase really of, hey, look, this guy throws six pitches and they're all above average. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the greatest mix. It's a little tighter than I want it to be as far as the pitch movement plot goes. It's not as wide as we have seen from other guys. However, it's 96 plus on the fastball with a slider that has 7 to 8 inches of extra sweep at 86, 87, a good cutter at 92 that has proper separation from that four seamer, a curveball in there, a changeup sinker. I mean, actually really a splitter rather than a changeup. It's great. It's a command arm, like a Toby that turns into a Holly who could actually be like an ace at some point. You know, you want the guys that have the leash, which he does. He went 6.1 innings and 80 plus pitches yesterday. Mm-hmm. On who pitches with efficiency. So you have this floor of like, hey, look, you are going to give me that quality start chance every single time. And he hasn't pitched much in the majors. I think we kind of forget that he's only pitched 44 innings this year. He had a brief stint last year. It wasn't the longest. I mean, it was like, I think 2 or 3 games starting. That's it. And then relief. This is someone who's still developing. And the idea that this is Troy Melton and as good as it gets, I don't think is correct. I think that this is what we normally see with guys is once they get into that rhythm every 5 days, cool, start experimenting a little bit more. Last 3 games, he's had 12 whiffs at least in each. He hadn't done the first 4 at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that's already a showcase that he's figuring some things out. So I'm a huge fan of Troy Melton right now. I think it's the perfect kind of play where you're not giving yourself too much risk by having him on your team and then opening yourself up to a lot of upside.
Yep. I think the roster rates for Melton and Jack Flaherty should be swapped. I think Flaherty is in like the 70% on Yahoo.
Are you serious?
Melton is like 40.
Breakouts do so much, don't they?
I know. And listen, the underlying metrics, Nick, but if you look at like Sierra and all that, it tells you Jack Flaherty, but I'm saying why.
No, I'm messing around. Yeah. Yeah.
Because like,
yeah.
Like, hey, Jack Flaherty should be pitching much better. And I should just say like, I'm talking myself into Jack Flaherty at Texas this weekend because the Texas lineup is super banged up. What we saw from Jack Flaherty in the last outing was good command of the four seamer at like 93, 94. And then the secondaries commanded really well at the bottom of the zone, which you've talked about a lot, is the key for Flaherty when he goes on these strong runs. Now, the issue with him is, you can't predict whether the command of those pitches is going to be there in and out. And so Jack Flaherty isn't somebody like I'm quote unquote buying low on right now, but he is a pitcher where when he gets on these runs where the command seems to be working for him, I think he can put together some strong outings. I would take the gamble against Texas this weekend. Even if he has a decent outing against Texas, I just don't think I trusted against the Phillies next week.
Yeah, I actually just updated my, I thought I had him in the questionable start tier. I had him in the do not because I set that before his last start. Because yeah, look, Flaherty had really good command, as you mentioned, last start. So sure, maybe that happens again. You know, there is a good strikeout opportunity there. I think the real interesting guy here on the Tigers is Casey Mize, who I really wax poetic about. Mize from the ashes. And his slider, I think, is the glue that he's been looking for a while. So yeah. Really excited about that start against Texas.
Yeah, I've needed to change my priors on Casey Mize because previous seasons I've kind of been like, he's fine.
But I do think slider really changes things.
He's a little more dynamic now.
Royals, what do we got?
Royals, 2-3 against Phillies. Oh, it's a wraparound, sorry. So it's 2 against the Phillies this weekend.
World with Cup, baby.
With 1 against the Phillies on Monday. Then it's 3 at the Mets and 3 at the Royals. So it is a 2-start week for both Noah Cameron and Seth Lugo.
No. No.
I don't know that you're interested in either one of those.
No. But
Lugo is Mets Orioles. And so at least the matchups are maybe in like a 15-team league, you could get there.
I know he just had, a poor quality start with, or very poor quality start with 7Ks, I think it was, for Seth Lugo. That's exactly 6 innings, exactly 300 runs, exactly 9 base runners. But no, I think it's way too much risk for you there. While Michael Wacha, looking a lot better, he gets the Mets, that's fine. Steven Kolek, fine. Sure. Don't care about Luminder Avila.
No. The Twins are 3 at the Yankees this weekend, 3 home against the Guardians, 3 home against the Angels. It's 2-start week for Taj Bradley, who we generally can't trust, but Taj Bradley against the Guardians and the Angels is a pretty good setup where, like, I think I'm happy to roll that. Not happy to. I think I would roll the dice.
You know, when is the last time, Eric, that you've seen a guy earn 11 strikeouts and fewer whiffs?
Very rare, because usually I'm like, oh my God, that guy had only 12 whiffs, but 10 strikeouts. Like, that's rare. So when it's even fewer
11 whiffs, versus 10 with Bradley, 8 of his 10 whiffs came with 2 strikes. So he had an 81%. I think it was 81% 2 strike rate in this one for Taj Bradley. 81% of the batters faced. That's insane. That it, like, we normally see like a 45-50% rate, guys. That is, it's crazy.
Not repeatable.
Yeah.
We are seeing a little bit of a step back forward for Connor Prelip. You and I both wrote about this. Prelip was in my article that came out yesterday, where I mentioned that when I was initially really interested in Prelip, I was like, oh, he's a lefty. The changeup flashed a little bit. I was like, maybe the changeup will, you know, grow to join the slider. But it's been the curve with the slider in more recent starts, giving him multiple secondaries with a mediocre fastball. I think you comped him to like Reed Detmers, didn't you, in one of the last things?
Yes, did, yeah. Yeah. Oh, look at you. Oh, that's very touching, Eric.
I read your stuff.
Man.
But I will do that against the Guardians next week. I feel fine about that.
I don't know what they're doing with him, because I'm seeing, just so you guys know, we get our data from RotoWire and the RotoWire feed, and so does Roster Resource. And I don't know why he's getting skipped. I couldn't figure out the reason that he's not going this weekend. Well, and he's getting pushed back. I couldn't find a quote on it. I'm sure it's somewhere.
It's so probably quotes from weeks ago. They said that they didn't want to shut him down, but they wanted to manage his innings throughout the year, so they would give him some extended time in between starts sporadically.
But I mean, so for example, it would be lined up for Saturday against the Yankees, mm-hmm. Connor Prelip. Otherwise, if he gets the Guardians, then I'm really happy with that. Of course, he would get the Angels then on Friday the next week, which I would be totally down for. So I think regardless, I'm going to throw Connor Prelip in there in the probable start, because, yeah, that curveball is really good. I remember actually looking into him before he got the call and seeing that two plane curveball of, what, like 83, 84 or something like that. I'm like, what? This is that's really good. And he wasn't really utilizing it. And now he started to bring it in. But the slider down and in is, yeah, that's what gets the Detmers comp. It's like, does he have a slider command? He has this 95 mile per hour four seam where he likes to go upstairs with it. Okay, we think. We have a changeup that kind of shows up. And then there is a curveball. Now, the curveball is better for Prelip. I think the slider is more effective for Detmers at the moment. And the fastball could go either way, honestly.
Yeah, I thought it was a good and interesting comp.
I appreciate it.
We're going to move on to the AL East, but we are going to do that after this break. Moving on to the Baltimore Orioles, they get 3 at Cincinnati this weekend, 3 home against the Cubs, 3 home against the Royals. It's 2-start week for Shane Baz. What do you think? Cubs, Royals, at home, Shane Baz, can you do it?
Sure, in a 15-teamer. I mean, it's not the worst 12-teamer one either. I think he has 2 starts all year with a 1 whip or lower. And I think that's really just a showcase of, like, he's always allowing things. He's never dominant. We're hoping that it's going to lean our way, you know? That's really all I can say about Baz. I don't really see too much of an improvement over the recent outings.
It feels like an entire rotation of streamers and then Kyle Bradish, who could some days is an ace and some days is a mess. But like Dean Kramer, Trevor Rogers, Brandon Young, they're not, neither of them are guys I would really like to trust, especially in a 12 team league. And in a 15 team league, I think fine, you can play the matchups. Brandon Young is somebody I know other people were in on. I think this is going to come crashing down at some point in time. And so I'm not really in there. And so it's a rotation I'm generally disinterested in. And then Kyle Bradish, who is driving me crazy and I can't quite quit because every time I'm ready to quit, he has a few really,
I really do think that's just a matter of time of just like more consistency with it, because he is throwing harder with them and they're as good as they've been. So I'm going to keep buying in on Kyle Bradish here.
Yep. Moving on to the Red Sox, three at the Angels this weekend, three at the White Sox next week, three at the Mets. It's two-start week for Peyton Tolley at the White Sox, at the Mets. Listen, it was a really rough start for Tolley yesterday. We know that these things happen, and it's because he still is evolving the use of his secondaries and the success of the secondaries. And when the fastball is not missing bats,
right,
he seems to keep going to it still.
He still was missing some bats on it. It was just they were locking in on it, and they hit two home runs off of it. And also keep in mind that the cutter is not a cutter. I'm sorry. Right. It is a slider. It's a bad slider. What I mean by that is it's 86, 87, and it has cutter-like movement with more lift than it should.
Yeah.
So we call it a cutter. I'm like, no. Don't think of this as the Razz Pack, because it's not like it's 92 with the 95 mile per hour fastball, right? So it is so dependent on that heater, and it really bothers me. I mean, he had less extension yesterday. It was 7.2 as opposed to like 7.4, 7.5. And I think that ultimately messed him up too. Like, he could easily be amazing. It's one of those times as an analyst, you go, all right, do I believe that he's going to have something else?
Yeah.
You know, if someone could have told me that that Keiko Cavalli was going to add like three things yesterday or 2 days ago, that would have been really nice. I would have appreciated that. And we'll get to him in due time, of course, but like actually the last thing we cover. With Tolley, you just got to keep going with it. You just got to hope that's all going to work out there. Jake Bennett, we love.
Yep.
Big fan, Dan. Sonny Gray, you got to keep going with it because it's all sunny right now.
Do you see
the same thing?
Do you see the name that's showing up next week for the Boston Red Sox?
Oh, I do. I was about to get to it. Instead of Connelly Early, it's Patrick Sandoval.
Potentially.
We'll see.
So, yeah, there's a few things that have been talked about. Like the Red Sox have an off day on Monday, so it's potentially Patrick Sandoval. It might be a bullpen day. They might, you know, tweak some things around. Good news, if you have Connelly Early, it was elbow inflammation on the posterior side of the elbow, so not anything connected to the UCL. They actually expect him to throw next week, just like a toss.
But it's a good time the expectation
is that he will be back either directly after the All-Star break or not long after. Hold on to him. You're not going to get, you're not going to have to rejigger this whole rotation around. And Patrick Sandoval, listen, even if he starts against the White Sox, I'm not adding him, but there have been a lot of reports that teams are sniffing around in a trade because he has no minor league options. So he needs on the active roster. So the Red Sox,
he's definitely going to start then, Eric, because he needs an audition.
Yes, but they could audition him after, they could use the entirety of his rehab and then audition him after the All-Star break. Because
I see what you're saying.
I think he was only at 50-something pitches in his last rehab assignment, if I'm remembering correctly. So even if he comes up, you're looking at like maybe 70 pitches, and they might still choose to do that. But that's another reason for fantasy purposes that you're just not chasing
him at all. A couple things really quickly, guys. One, yes, I'll be doing another trade deadline spectacular extravaganza with Paul Spohr on the Monday. Imagine you'll be doing it with James Schiano that same day. And I will be doing the list on Tuesday that week. I also thank everybody for allowing me to have a little bit of a personal week. Lots of things going on in my life right now. So I appreciate the delay to Tuesday. Also, big shout out to Kate Cavalli for the statement. I know that I'm very harsh on people in the game who have bad actions towards other humans, and I call them out on that. And all I really want is for them to take accountability and to showcase that accountability after, and I'll give them all the praise. And it's actually kind of rare to see that kind of statement so quickly from Kay Cavalli, which is awesome. So I just want to give respect to that. You can say what you want about the event, but moving forward, that's good in my book. And also, Eric, Brandon Young's not so bad. So if you guys are wondering about that one, you're wondering about your takes on that. He's not so bad on the Orioles. We skipped over that one. Just had to say that. Dean Kramer, not very good in his first game back. Personally, I know the line was, but I don't really like it. And Trevor Rogers, I'm so curious what he does right now, but I feel like he's on a heater. He's going to be going on one. Might upgrade that Cubs start to probable if he kills it against the Reds and Cincy.
Yeah, we'll see. That's a tough one, the Reds and Cincy. Yeah. We'll see. Yankees, they have three at Tampa Bay, four at Tampa Bay, sorry, three at Washington. It's two-start week for both Cam Schlittler and Will Warren. Listen, you're starting everybody in the Yankees rotation right now. Question for you about next week. You had a really great video about Ryan Weathers.
Oh, thank you.
Walking through the start, suggesting that the start wasn't as bad as the stat line suggested. He will start this weekend against Minnesota. I'm assuming you would use him there.
Oh, yeah.
However, he gets Washington next week. Washington is one of the best offenses in baseball against lefties. Do you care?
Average against lefties. Best against righties.
You sure about that?
Yes. It's weird, isn't it?
But we have to look at that.
I think you're right.
They lit up the Red Sox lefties the last 2 days.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, man.
That's why it's weird, because Abrams and Wood
guys. I knew something was weird, and I was like, oh, it's totally going to be the other
one. Yeah.
My apologies. Thank you so much, Eric. Look, this is why he's the best. He's the best host, guys.
Yeah, they are the second ranked offense in weighted runs created plus against lefties this season,
and then average against righties. It's like 102 or something.
They have the best OPS against lefties this year.
Man,
Ryan Weathers next week against the Nationals.
Yeah, maybe I should degrade that to questionable. The way I see Weathers. Is it's really like home runs or not? And sure, don't be stupid like you were on the other day. It watch that video. It's really fun. I think it's the thing that I miss the most, that I haven't done as much as I want these days, just because like my mornings are just so filled up that I don't really have the time to do it. But I don't know. The discussion of sequencing is so lost. And I went on a whole rant on the end of the craft about just what it really means. There's this whole... Okay, whatever. I'm not going to do this again. But long story short, I think there's too much probability inside of baseball where it's you're playing the odds as opposed to playing the moment.
Yeah.
And I feel that sequencing is actually part of that that gets lost a lot. But with Ryan Weathers, maybe you do want to bench that one, play safe. Maybe you want to see how he does against the Twins. I really just think that home runs are the biggest issue there. With Carlos Rodon, he'll get it. Gerrit Cole should too. His command is just really bad right now, which is so strange. Will Warren finally threw changeups. Yes. Finally had a ton of them against lefties. And that was really good. And Cam, I know Cam like scares everybody every so often. He led four home runs twice against Riley Green. He had zero whiffs on every pitch in 36 pitches in the first inning. Zero whiffs.
Yeah.
So weird. I think the Tigers like pick something up or something like that. Cause you don't get that from Cam Schlittler on 36 pitches.
Yeah. Like I think it's more of a blip than anything.
Exactly. That's what I'm going for.
The Rays, three at Houston this weekend, four against the Yankees next week, three against the Mariners all at home. It's two start week for Shane McClanahan and Ian Seymour. Ian Seymour, who today, Thursday, I haven't checked yet. I don't actually think it's on yet, but he is going to start. He's not going to follow an opener. He is going to get a start. So next week, that is a two-start week for Seymour against the Yankees and the Mariners. Have you seen enough from Ian Seymour that you're A, interested, and B, using him in that two-start week?
In a two-start and a 15-teamer, sure. I don't trust Ian Seymour's consistency yet.
Okay.
That's really what it comes down to. He wasn't the most consistent last year, too. Mm-hmm. He had like a couple starts in a row that were really getting our attention for a moment, and we didn't expect anything, right? But Ian Seymour some days has a good swatch and swatch approach, and sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah.
So I don't feel as if I have to go after Ian Seymour.
I am more in on Ian Seymour than you are. Admittedly, like a lot of it is prior infatuation and acknowledging the changeup right now is not as good as it was before, but I'm hopeful.
Maybe it will.
Shane McClanahan, velocity is up. Command is wavering. Again, remember that he hasn't pitched in the major league since 2024. So the fact that we are in July and we're going through a stretch right now where his command is iffy, I don't think should surprise us. And I got to tell you, like, if you want certainty and consistency, like, maybe you're trying to trade McClanahan, because when you think of, like, August, September, he hasn't pitched since 2024. The Rays are first in the division right now. Like, they may start to factor in his potential fatigue with their playoff run. Because even though we've seen him post full seasons before, it's been a long time since he has done this kind of repeated, you know, strain on his body and his arm. And they may skip a start here and there. They may do what they did to Rasmussen last year, where we've got a couple stretches where we're just going to go four innings, whatever, feel it out. And so it wouldn't surprise me if August has some hijinks, some shenanigans for Shane McClanahan. And if that is something that is going to frustrate you, maybe you get ahead of it now, not in dropping him, but in trading him. But I don't have any concerns about him as a pitcher.
Yeah. I think what you said is right on the nose of, hey, just look at what they did to Rasmussen last year, and you have the game plan for this year for Shane McClanahan. And I do want to note, when you think about it from last year, there was this stretch at the end of June, actually. It was 3 innings, 2 innings, 2 innings, 4 innings for a month. And then he went back up to 5, and he had like a string of 4 straight 6-inning games in August as Drew Rasmussen. And the fact that they haven't done that to McClanahan yet is kind of encouraging. They could go into that if they want. I'm just going to say right now, you know what I'm going to say, value now, value later, don't big brain it, all that kind of stuff. You want to trade, sure. I don't know how many people would trade for a 1.17 WHIP guy, but it is a 3.05 ERA and like a 23% K rate. So that's cool. He's throwing 96. I love that. I think there's still more for McClanahan. If he gets the changeup and slider working in tandem in a game at 96 with the fastball, oof, yeah, that's going to be really fun. And Griffin Jacks threw 88 pitches, only 5 innings, and then 71 and 6 innings. He did it. He did it, Eric.
Yeah.
It's time. So I'm stoked about that.
I'm very stoked about that. moving to the Blue Jays, they get 3 at Seattle this weekend. They have 3 at the Giants, 3 at the Padres. It's two-star week for Kevin Gausman, Giants, right? Padres. And last week you said, don't worry about Kevin Gausman, the velocity, whatever. And listen to Nick, don't worry. We're right back in there with Gausman. Spencer Miles is kind of in the rotation, but he threw 47 pitches in like a bulk appearance.
4-inning save.
Yeah.
5-inning save. 5-inning save.
No. Oh, Corbin got the 5-inning save.
Yeah.
Yeah. They used a 1-inning opener. Then they used bulk
Miles for
Spencer
3.
Miles, and then super bulk Patrick Corbin. It's amazing. A headache for fantasy. Max Scherzer may be coming back, which I'm avoiding for fantasy, but he would be in the rotation. And so it's all a little bit of a mess. And listen, Treya Savage is somebody I had in my article as a potential sell. I just don't trust the command right now. And it's really hard for me to buy into that he is going to be a consistent pitcher the remainder of the way, given the arm injuries and the command before that. And I pointed out that, like, last year in AAA, he had a really high walk rate. And he had a kind of a high walk rate in the major leagues when he came up, but it was 2 starts. And so we all said, oh, it's 2 starts. He didn't walk guys in the postseason. That's a really small sample size. Like, he had command issues in AAA. The command issues are coming home to roost a little bit here. And so I if you can get out from under Treya Savage, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
For this year, I think the command issues may continue.
So I agree with you completely. You know me. What is so wild is Treya Savage's last start, I think it was 0 walks. He did it without a 50% strike rate, I think, on either the slider or the splitter. And the reason is because his four-seamer was the best commanded four-seamer from him I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It was up and in to lefties and then middle into righties. And just, I can't believe that. Insane. I've been asking him, hey, can you please throw low four-seamers? I think that'll help you with the strike rates, especially to right-handers with the slider. You did one game, you got all these slider whiffs. But if you're doing this, okay, you're going to earn all the outs consistently doing that. It's like it's Irvin Santana all over again, and I don't buy it. Like, the idea that he does that every time is crazy, but that's how he just had that start. Now, there's also Shane Bieber in here. I don't know what to do. Like, I probably should put both at Seattle and at the Padres and do not start. Like, that's where my brain is.
That's
my heart says there's more, that he's better, as Cashew agrees. And I don't know. So I have it as do not start against Seattle and then still questionable on Friday, the 10th.
That's fair. I'm not taking that gamble, but that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, like, look, maybe he does something against the Mariners that there's still a chance that it's good. But at least right now, mm-hmm. it's not in our best interest against the Mariners.
Yeah. We're going to move on to the NL. We got about 7 minutes per division here in the NL.
We got it.
To get through this, but we're going to do it. The Diamondbacks, 3 against Milwaukee this weekend, 4 at San Diego, 3 at the Dodgers. It's two-start week for Brandon Pfaadt and Zach Gallen, Padres, Dodgers. I don't think you can do it. Neither. I know Pfaadt had a good stat line, but nothing looked that much different. So can you trust either of those guys in a two-start week? I'm assuming you're going to say no.
I mean, yeah, it's not at all what I want to do with myself. What's interesting is that they were saying Trevor May was saying that Gallen was tipping. Mm. I wonder if that's the case, but he's not going to his curveball nearly as much anymore. So
yeah.
If he's not doing that, then he's not going to be effective.
Eduardo Rodriguez right now is just on the ultimate Vargas run. And so you can start him against Milwaukee this weekend. I would struggle to do it against the Dodgers next week.
I can't do it against the Dodgers, no.
Yeah. That's kind of it, unless you want to talk about Jose Cabrera or Merrill Kelly.
No, he's a strike thrower, so he's going to give himself an opportunity for 6 innings. Same thing with Merrill Kelly, even though it's been a really bad run. And I understand putting that do not start if you wanted to.
Yep.
It's up to you.
The Rockies, 3 against the Giants this weekend at home.
Just don't do the Rockies.
Okay. Don't do that. Moving on.
Just don't do it.
We joked that the Dodgers finally were going to have a two-start week, and it was Eric
Lauer. I told you they weren't.
But we said that. We said, don't count on that Sunday start.
And I was like, I don't believe it. I was like, they're going to do something. They're going to say this. They're that. They'll have some random bullpen day. And what did they do, Eric?
They had a random bullpen game.
It was Charlie Barnes.
It was Charlie Barnes.
Of course. It wasn't a bullpen game, though.
Yeah.
It was 7 innings.
That's true. Like 7 innings pitches. As a bulk reliever for Charlie Barnes.
Yeah. 7 innings. They were like my comforter when I poured water on it, right? They're just hanging them out to dry. Okay. Just go out there. Have a good time in Sacramento. Last 7 runs. Whatever. Goodbye, Charlie Barnes, with your sub 90 mile per hour fastballs from the left side. I will never remember him again. I was like, didn't he? Wasn't he a hitter or something like that, Charlie Barnes? And I was thinking of the guy from the Rockies who hurt his clavicle with the venison from Todd Helton, Clinton Barmas. That's who I was thinking of. That is a callback.
That is a very big
2000s.
But the good news for Eric Lauer is that
now Rocky Road. Yes,
that means he gets Rocky Road on Monday. And so
is it a two-star week, Eric?
It's not. It's not going to be a two-star week. No. But you can keep firing up Eric Lauer in your rotation because he's pitching fine. And the Rockies in LA, you definitely want to do that. After the Rockies at home, they get the Diamondbacks at home. Listen, you're starting everybody this week for the Dodgers because Robleski, Sasaki, they get the Rockies at home. You're always starting Ohtani, Yamamoto, and I think you're starting Emmett Sheehan basically all the time. And so Emmett Sheehan is one of my favorite buy low pitchers right now.
A lot of people do not want to do that. And I just think that's silly. Emmett Sheehan's a really good pitcher. So is Robleski. I mean, Robleski's going to carve again. Rocky Road.
Yep.
He's throwing 95 mile per hour four seamers all of a sudden upstairs. Effectively, he has a slider that's better too. He's looking good.
Yeah. And we got no Snell or Glass now, and they're just chugging along. The Padres, 3 at the Dodgers this weekend, 4 against the Diamondbacks next week, 3 against the Blue Jays. It's two-start week for Walker Buehler, Randy Vasquez. I think we've reached a point in this rotation where Michael King, sure, it makes you a little nervous, but sure, especially now that he's going to be away from this run of the Dodgers. And I don't think you can trust anybody else in the rotation.
I mean, yeah, you can make an argument not to trust Michael King either.
Totally agree.
The way I see it is he's a questionable start because he still has a ceiling that is higher than pretty much all of the other do not starts that could just show up, right? So he's there. It's more about his own command than it is the opponent.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't really want to do it, no.
The Giants get 3 at the Rockies this weekend. They get 3 against Toronto at home next week and then 4 against the Rockies at home. So it's two-start week for Landon Rupp and Trevor McDonald. Blue Jays. I know, Blue Jays and Rockies. Are you wavering on Landon Rupp at all?
Look, I'm making it a bit now. I think this is like the third week we do this.
But are you wavering on Rupp?
I mean, for his choices, yes. But as a pitcher, no. I think he's still a very good pitcher. I think, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the mental aspect of him putting the quote on his hat is affecting him at the moment. He'll get past that. And then he still has very good pitch separation. It was also one really bad inning where he kind of fell apart. And okay, I'm not going to judge that. He should be really good. Robbie Ray is doing very weird things again.
I know.
It's so strange to see him throw sinkers instead of four seamers to right-handers.
He's a pitcher who doesn't have any confidence in his pitch mix right now and is just making a bunch of stuff up.
Almost feels like he's making a bunch of stuff up. Veterans figure things out. They okay, they acknowledge quickly a problem. It's like a good product manager. You got to see that is an issue. We're not going to do that. We got to figure out solutions. Cool. Down with that. Logan Webb, it is coronation day tomorrow on Friday in Coors. If he does that, it's aces going to ace. Same for Cal Harrison against the Diamondbacks, but we'll get to that soon.
What about Trevor McDonald in a two-start week, Blue Jays, and then the Rockies at home? Because the last start was pretty good for Trevor McDonald.
Yeah, but okay. So what's the best thing about Trevor McDonald? What's his best pitch?
The slider.
Right. And what has
and
been
and the then best he spams pitch. And he spams sinkers in the zone.
The sinker has been the effective one for him. He's actually gone through games. While the slider used to be this incredible thing. Remember that Rocky Road start last year that won a lot of people's playoffs? That was because his breaking ball, which was a curveball back then, I guess now it's a slider, was just so good. And he threw 50% of the time. It's not nearly as good. It hasn't been good for 6 weeks now. And I have no faith in this. It wasn't there in the start last night. I don't think it's going to be there against the Jays.
Moving to the NL Central, the Cubs get 3 against the Cardinals this weekend, 3 at Baltimore next week, 3 at Cincinnati. It's a two-start week for Matthew Boyd, Baltimore and Cincinnati. I think you're going to use that for Matthew Boyd. Colin Ray, Javier Assad, do you have any interest in those guys?
Colin Ray is such a good streamer all the time when he faces these weak offenses. Is that the Orioles, though? I don't know what to make of the Orioles offense.
It's tough. Yeah, it's tough.
You know?
Because numbers say it is the Orioles, but talent-wise says it's not the Orioles. And so you never know when they're going to wake up.
You never know. So I would probably say no for that one. And same for Assad against the Cardinals. But they're both questionable because, if you're chasing wins, these are fine. Showed him and odd. There have been a lot of discussions about the baseball right now. Talked about it with Eno on the craft yesterday, just how low the drag is at the moment, and home run guys like Imanaga, even Weathers, we were talking about before, might continue to see these problems. Matthew Boyd involved in it too. So I'm probably going to downgrade Matthew Boyd to a questionable just because of this.
Well,
and Imanaga, David Peterson. Oh, David Peterson. Oh my gosh. No, don't go after David Peterson, please.
Imanaga at Cincinnati next week could be a little bit problematic with the ball, but we'll see.
Oh, yeah, with a ballpark, of course.
The Reds, they have 3 in Baltimore this weekend. 3 at home, sorry, against Baltimore this weekend. 3 at home against the Phillies next week. 3 at home against the Cubs. It's two-start week for Andrew Abbott, but it's Phillies and Cubs. In a 15-team league, obviously, he's pitching well, and he has 2 starts. I think you're going to roll the dice. In a 12-team league, could you trust Andrew Abbott in those 2 starts?
I think you kind of have to just keep rolling with it. It's the Vargas rule.
We're going to get Hunter Green back this weekend against Baltimore. That's great. Always still ill stuff, but then you're going to get Hunter Green against the Cubs next week. And we assume you're just going to fire it up as you would. Because
If you have Hunter Green after that, I don't really see why.
Unless there's something some drastic problem this weekend, you're just
the number one thing I care about from Hunter Green is his slider for strikes.
Yeah,
just throw at least 60% strikes in your slider, and I'll be so happy.
Chase Burns, you're going to use, and Nick Lodolo against the Cubs. Sure, fine.
Yep.
Been a little better, but the pitch. The innings haven't been there last time out. Brewers. They get 3 at the Arizona Diamondbacks this weekend. They get 4 at the Cardinals next week. 5 at the Cardinals next week because there is a doubleheader in there. So that is a ton of games. And then 3 at the Pirates. It's a 2-start week for Shane Drouin. It is a... they're going to have Gasser mixed in. It is, I will say, just so this... The document from RotoWire has Shane Drouin starting on Sunday, but Pat Murphy said Mizorowski is going to start on Sunday because Pat Murphy said yesterday Mizorowski is going to make 3 more starts before the All-Star break.
Oh, well, there you go. And so then he has to be at Tuesday and Sunday.
And
then
that also will mean that he doesn't pitch in the All-Star game. But
look, it's only it fitting. It is after last year where he got into the All-Star game because like seven pitchers said no.
Yes.
So now he's not going to do it. And I actually have, there is a surprise pitcher next week that you didn't say yet. And I'll tell you guys who that is after this break.
Is the surprise pitcher Logan Henderson?
It sure is, yes. Eric. Because he could be coming back from injury. Could starting be, for yes. the Brewers next week.
He could be coming back from his back injury. So keep that in mind. Again, we probably wouldn't use him at St. Louis first start off the IL, but he looked really good before. It's going to be a move you're going to have to make if you want to, you know, to have him. He's also
been right. I've got some insight for you, Eric. I believe his last rehab start was about 50 pitches or so. It'll probably be up to 60 in the second one, and this will be around 70.
Yeah.
So if you are in that situation of what do I do here, and you have to activate him or not, then okay, fine, activate him and see how it goes for 70, 75 pitches. He is a good enough strike thrower, I think, with his fastball, at least efficient with it, that he can go five innings and that's still ill. Yeah. So sure, that's fine. If I'm the Brewers, I wouldn't activate him.
But I think you would.
Why?
Because you have eight games in the week because of the doubleheader. So even if he only goes 70 pitches, you kind of need those 70 pitches to save your bullpen.
Drohan, Gasser, Mizorowski, Harrison, Woodruff, Sproat is six.
Yeah.
For 8 days.
Yeah.
That works.
No, for 8 games in 7 days.
Sorry. Yeah. 7 days, 8 games. That should still work.
Maybe.
Right. You have the Monday guy go Saturday, Tuesday guy go Sunday, like a normal five man throughout the entire week. And then you have an extra guy, the sixth guy.
Well, there's two Tuesday guys.
No, I understand. The sixth guy is the Tuesday guy. The extra Tuesday guy. Let's say you have a normal five-man rotation. You can survive a seven-game week. Yes.
We are digressing.
You have the extra guy on Tuesday.
We are digressing when we're up against it. And I want to ask you about Brandon Sproat before we move on, because Brandon Sproat has had two decent starts. I mean, the last start wasn't as good as the one before, but I think Brandon Sproat is turning a corner a little bit.
I hope so. He still needs to figure out a little bit of his breaking stuff. And I'm not quite at this moment where I say, hey, look, you've got the fastball's foundation. You know how to use the cutter. You know how to do this. You know how to do that. But his last start was not as good with the four-seamer as the previous one. But everything else was kind of like around where it needed to be. And I feel like he's at least more in control. Like, not just complete craziness. I don't know what I'm going to do. There's more authority or more control of what's going on. Right. I got this. So I'm good with Brandon Sproat right now. Would take the chance. I feel like it's a good launching point. Now at Pittsburgh's tough because that is like the number two offense against righties.
Yeah.
So
they've been very good all year. I think people are underrating how
Brian Reynolds is having an amazing season.
Yeah, he is.
Totally counting him out.
Yeah.
So Kyle Harrison, though, hey, at Arizona, please get the aces against ace there. And you got Pittsburgh. We're just talking about him. You don't do much Keller. Of course not. You got Braxton Ashcraft, hopefully going to be against the Nationals here too. You got Paul Skeens. I'm not worried about Paul Skeens. Everyone's talking about, oh my God, what's wrong with Paul Skeens? He has a 30% K rate. I don't care. I'm sorry. He's getting more whistle on his four-seamer to right-handers. They're hitting him a little bit harder than usual. Fine. He was down two ticks yesterday and might have helped him because it would have been 10 foul balls on the four-seamer. Fine. It's Paul Skeens. Everyone goes through things. It's the first adversity you could say he's ever gone through. Mm-hmm. He'll be fine. Jared Jones and Bubba Chandler are, I think, the interesting ones to talk about here. Jared Jones is going to go against Atlanta on Wednesday. He just went today. And then you have Bubba Chandler against the Nationals on Sunday and then against the Brewers on Saturday. What do you have on either of those two guys, Eric?
Well, I will say I haven't seen Jared Jones's start today.
It was good.
He only went four innings, I believe, but struck out six and was overall fine. Mm-hmm. I have said that I am still in on Jared Jones because I don't think he's pitched super poorly. And if you look at his overall command grades and location grades, they're pretty good, but he does make a few mistakes every game. And those few mistakes have been getting crushed. And I just think like that we should have expected him to make a few mistakes every game coming off of Tommy John surgery. It's just part of, you know, par for the course. And it's unfortunate that the mistakes that he has been making have the offenses have been taking advantage. But I think that we're going to start to see the mistakes become less frequent as the summer goes on. And so I've always been holding on to Jared Jones. I think his Yahoo roster rate is down to like 24% because people are like, I can't do it.
My fantasy pros thing that I use for roster shape for the streamers is under 20%.
Yeah.
He's and a streamer, technically.
I would say I'm adding Jared Jones because also the Braves offense, just so we know, was really struggling in June. So that start on Wednesday is not as scary as it may have been at the beginning of June. And then you've got Jared Jones for the second half of the season. And I think you're going to like that.
So the main thing here is about efficiency for Jared Jones. And even like you see 11 whiffs and you go, how is he going 4 innings? It's because he's either throwing a ball or getting whiffs a lot. Mm-hmm. And what that does is that extends these at bats a ton. It makes it so that he's throwing 73 pitches to go 4 innings, 2 hits, 2 walks, right? Like, wait, hold on. That's not how this is supposed to work, right? He had a 46% strike rate on his four seamer. Back when he first came up, you remember like 19 whiffs on his four seamer in one game, right?
Yeah.
He would be nailing the top of the zone with it and then going down with the slider. It's not there. It wasn't even there in this one either. So, I mean, it was better against right-handers with the slider, but the four seamer certainly not. Four seamer missing way too high against lefties. It's a thing over time. We always say a command is the last one over turn, blah, blah, blah. Look at Garrett Cole, look at Jared Jones. Sure. A lot of times where he is back right away. So, look, I'm going to hold out for it. I'm going to believe that it'll be there. But, yeah, it is frustrating if you're a manager.
We're going to wrap up the NL Central with the Cardinals. Well,
Bubba Chandler, though, Eric, I got to do this.
Okay.
Bubba Chandler, it's been like 2 earned runs or 1 earned run for a ton. And are you feeling like he's a little bit better? Is he improving? I know he's like changed his arm angles a little bit. How are you on it?
He did change his arm angle. Alex Stump, who covers the Pirates, mentioned that. To me, I have more faith in Jared Jones.
Yes.
Bubba Chandler, I still think like we're not executing the slider as well as I would like to get swinging strikes, to get strikeouts. But maybe he's learning how to pitch a little bit more effectively where the floor is being raised. I don't know that we're going to see that ceiling this year because I haven't seen those consistent whiffs, but I feel better about him from like a streaming standpoint because I think that I think the floor is higher, but I think Bubba Chandler in like a redraft league is a pretty decent pitcher to trade away because he's been pitching relatively well from a stat line perspective recently,
right,
and he's got a big name.
Yeah,
but I don't see anything where I'm like, man, this is clicking for him.
Yeah, he's a piece. Same with, it's kind of like the Jack Leiter a little bit. So we'll see how that goes. But all right, we got to go to the NL East. I apologize for that, Eric.
You skipped the Cardinals.
No, I didn't. I'm just kidding. I skipped the Cardinals. I'm so sorry, okay, guys.
Well,
Dustin May, two steps. Dustin, you're going to go with that.
Yes. It's basically Dustin May right now. And Andre Payante, I like, and I will trust him in certain matchups, potentially Milwaukee next week, but maybe not.
Yeah, Matthew Liberatore just had a lot of strikeouts. Don't buy it whatsoever. Yeah. Michael McGreevy, if you are in a quality start league, I understand doing a two-step of the Brewers and in Atlanta, but like it was the ideal start yesterday of good ratios with 3 strikeouts and 6 innings. Like that is the ideal, and I just can't go. What is it? Dancing the Dougie? I think it was doing the Dougie because that's Doug Fister.
He was on my sell list in that starting pitcher article. So I'm
there. We go. Not
to count on
him. NL East, 5 minutes to go.
The Braves, they have that wraparound series against the Mets. So it's 3 this weekend and 1 next week. The Braves get 3 at the Pirates, 3 at the Cardinals. That's a 2-start week for Reynaldo Lopez and Bryce Elder. Did you see enough from Reynaldo Lopez that in a 2-start week, Mets, Cardinals, you're going to use him again?
15 teamers, yes. Reynaldo was up to 95.
Yeah.
And Nick, only threw just about 70 pitches. He threw 95.9 on his last fastball.
Okay.
It was actually slowest in the beginning. And look, I'm not going to say that he's amazing, but that's good enough for a 15 team. Or Bryce Elder, no, I'm not going to do that. Hurston Waldrop, remember that guy that everyone loved before he got hurt in the preseason?
Yeah.
Well, now he's back and you're not going to care. So I'm not starting him at all against the Pirates. Chris Sale's great. If you're chasing wins, fine. Martin Perez against the Cardinals and the Mets this weekend. But that's it.
Vargas rule Martin Perez. Reynaldo Lopez, I think even in some 12-team leagues, you could stream him. It's pretty barren on some waiver wires, so I get it.
Yeah, I got that.
The Marlins, 3 at the Athletics this weekend, 3 home against Seattle, 3 home against Cleveland. It's a 2-start week for Max Meyer. We love it.
Ace is going to ace.
Yuri Perez, it's home against the Guardians, so I think you can use him in that start, even though, you know, we're still waiting for it to click. And I think kind of same thing with Sandy Alcantara. I know it hasn't been tremendous for him, but home against the Guardians is a pretty good start for him. I think that Sandy, while frustrating you in a 12-team league, is a fine, solid floor starting pitcher. And, you know, I'm not ready to move on from him fully. I think that
the whip is a ball and chain.
Yes, the whip is not great. Sure.
And it hurts you more if he goes a 125 whip at 200 innings, that like really hurts your team.
Yeah, if you're using him for all those innings, I guess I would do the Paul Spohr and treat him a little bit like a team streamer.
Okay,
that's great. Probably avoid some of the tougher matchups.
Yeah.
But given the starting pitcher landscape,
sure,
I would find it hard to cut him unless there was something really exciting on the waiver wire, like somebody in his division who we'll talk about.
Sean Burke or Sandy Alcantara?
I still think it's Sandy Alcantara, but maybe I'm too stuck in the past.
Like right now I see Sean Burke at Guardians and then hosting the Athletics. And then I see Sandy Alcantara at Athletics right now. And I'm like,
oh yeah.
And I know that there's Sandy against the Guardians after, but I'm just thinking, you know what? I'll take the value now in this hot stretch from Sean Burke and I'll find something else.
Sure.
That's how my head is going in a 12 teamer, but I understand not everybody's like that in their leagues. We're going to go to the Mets because we have no time left, and I'm so sorry. Nolan McLain looking a little bit better. He's not totally solved, but fine. We'll start him against Atlanta and the Red Sox. Freddy Peralta is looking terrible. Are you starting Freddy Peralta at Atlanta and the Red Sox, even though it's like I would
start him against the Red Sox in a one-off.
Not at Atlanta, even though you just told me that June was terrible.
That's true. I did tell you that. I think I'm still going to roll the dice and shoot myself in the foot if I need to.
Yeah, I'm probably going
to
do that too. I think the Freddy Peralta eventually will be better. Kodai Senga wasn't so bad in relief last time out. He did get more strikes.
Nick, he does get PCR.
He
does
get the relief. Royals and then the Red Sox. Not the worst in a 15-teamer. He might even get an opener again too, which would help him as well, I think. There's Christian Scott against the Royals. I like that as a one-off. He's not quite excelling in the way that I thought he would. He doesn't have anything that has enough depth in my view, but that's still fine for me. And Sean Manaea, he's not he lowered his velocity again. And like, it's not the same guy from before. That's a questionable for me at the Royals. Definitely not against Atlanta. I imagine you agree. Yeah,
agree. The Phillies are pretty easy for me. They have a 7-game week next week. It's 2-start week for Christopher Sanchez and Zach Wheeler. I think the way I look at the Phillies, Lizardo, Sanchez and Wheeler, I'm basically starting all the time. And Alan Rangel and Aaron Nola, I'm not starting. Yep. And pretty I will just good. Say there may be better days ahead for Aaron Nola in the future. It's very rare for pitchers to have a strikeout minus walk ratio as good as he does and to miss as many bats as he's been missing and have an ERA as high as he does. I understand we don't want to trust him right now because the fastball velocity isn't quite there and all that stuff. I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me if there was a better stretch in the second half for Aaron Nola.
And keep in mind that I imagine the last time someone had a rate like that in this bad of an ERA was an odd year Aaron Nola. Okay. Griffin is like an ace right now. So I guess you're going to go with him against the Pirates and then the Astros. Zach Littell, no. Miles Michaelis, no. Andrew Alvarez does not go 5 innings. I just can't do this. He does not go 5 innings.
I wanted to get
an opener. I don't care. I'm not doing it.
We're ending with
only one of notes is Cade Cavalli.
Yes.
He was so good. Harder fastballs, harder curveballs that are like absurdly elite now with the sweeper being the curveball. And then he's throwing cutters now, which Savant didn't label, but I was like, no, this is.
It did after the fact.
But they did. Oh, thank you so much, Alex Fast. You rock. But I'm doing it like, no, these are cutters. And it was awesome against your Red Sox. I know they're bad against right-handers. It was so good. I cannot believe it's going to happen again. It wasn't even like the best command. It was just the fact that his four-seamer now is a whiff pitch at 98 as opposed to the empty velocity at 96, which then makes a curveball, which is so good at 88. Those two are amazing. And the cutter just transforms everything into stabilizing pitch. So I'm like, I'd say Cade Cavalli against Houston. I have him as a question, but I kind of want to make it a probable because how could you sit that?
He's also only 28% rostered in Yahoo formats. It's a 2-start week. I know it's the Yankees, but we talked about how the Yankees are in the middle of one of their swoons. I would start Cade Cavalli in that 2-start week, Houston and the Yankees. I spent a lot of money in my home league last night because we have Wednesday and Sunday waivers adding Cade Cavalli because for me, I have been very vocally against the Cade Cavalli has ace upside. Yeah. because it was just a curveball as the only plus pitch. If these changes stick, and I want to make it clear I'm with you, that know if this is going to stick. It's been one game, and the cutter has only been used in two starts. So he
And it was like three to four in the one before. Yeah.
New pitches we've talked about so many times. Yeah, confidence in them waivers. But this version of Cade Cavalli is very, very, very good and extremely useful for your fantasy team. So on the off chance that we can get this version of Cade Cavalli more often than not in the second half of the season, I think he's got to be a priority add.
Absolutely. And also
have more upside than most pitchers you could add on.
Then you have a Houston where you would think that the right-handed approach with a really good breaking ball would be more effective, especially right-handers getting the sinker and the four-seamer too. That's it. We did it. We got through it.
We got through it.
Oh my gosh.
Made it.
Incredible.
I hope everybody enjoys their 4th of July weekend. Nick and I will be back for another one before the All-Star break.
I will be in Cape Cod. I'm also interviewing CeCe Sabathia next Wednesday.
Oh, Cape Cod. Is that when you're in your music studio?
Yes, in the music studio. That's right. My dad's music studio.
Make sure you mention to CeCe Sabathia. CeCe Sabathia has a show on NBC Sports.
Oh, does he really?
He is a company man.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
Yes, let him know.
Incredible.
I am Eric Smolsky, the Pelican.
I'm Nick Pollock, the Lion.
And enjoy your 4th of July weekend.